Willow Creek Springs presents Healthy Living with your host, Joe Grumbine.
You know, and that can be, that's crazy to think about, you know, the impacts that I feel like on just one meal. You know, if I was just to eat one meal at McDonald's, the impacts I would be aware of in my own little system.
Right.
It's like someone's coming from three generations of nothing but McDonald's, you know,
exactly. And
nothing but whatever the pharmaceuticals or, you know, pharmacies are pushing and everything else, you know, it's like it's a really deep disconnect for a lot of people, you know, and that's, I feel that really deep, you know, the trauma.
And you look at these newer generations, you know, I mean, my kids are now in their 30s. And my grandkids are now teenagers. And I think to myself, you know, my generation, I was like the bridge between the boomers and whatever the next one is. You know, I was born in 1966. And so, you know, Vietnam War was going on and all this crazy stuff was happening when I was a young kid. But that's when that's shortly before that is when the big chemical companies got involved in food production. That's when, you know, Kellogg's and the big grain companies, you know, really started influencing the marketplace. And, you know, like you say, after that time, it became easier and food got cheaper. And yeah, all of a sudden, we were being fed, then all of a sudden information got spread and TV became a thing. You know, in the old days before that, people sat around radios and listened to entertainment and they weren't being told what to do. And then all of a sudden TV comes along and you get these commercials and you got people telling you to smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol and
crazy, all marketing, right?
And but we didn't have that before, you see. So this combination of it's easier to get food, go to the grocery store and just get it, you know, hop in your car instead of strap
miracle,
on.
Really, it's like convenient miracle that is like it's a stepping stone, you know. I think we'll find the next step, which is like, you know, co-ops and farmers markets and these things that are growing really strong now that are like convenient ways of getting healthy food, you know, and like, and they have organic food at all the, you know, grocery outlets and all the restaurants.
What's really crazy is that growing your own food is really, if you just decide to do it and you just put that work in, it's really cheap and easy. It doesn't really cost you.
Convenient.
You can and you just go into your garden, you go pick it up, right? You don't have to drive anywhere. Seeds are cheap. Like seeds are friggin' cheap. And I can
grow
hundreds and thousands of plants for pennies. And yet it's too much work for most people to do. And now that we're making this changeover, what's happened is the upper echelon, the people that have all the money that have time to think about, oh, what do I want to do instead of having to go to work because you got to pay for everything. Well, guess what? They have access to all these fancy organic fresh produce. You know, you ever heard of a store called Erewhon? I mean, it's like foo-foo of all, but you can get the best, freshest, organicest stuff. You go to the farmer's market, you pay a little more for it. And somebody did all that hard work to do it, but it's the upper crust that are getting that stuff first. And then the regular guys like us that are just growing it, we get the same food as the rich folks now.
Yeah. Living high, you know, that's why the richest people have, you know, are in the garden and in the land, on the land.
Exactly.
You know? And that's what's the most abundant too, you know, like one of the cool things, I just started helping with a community garden here in Orrville.
Nice.
But I've been big on the, you know, it's like remembering and like reminding people how easy and cheap and accessible it is to grow food. You know, it's like there's land back in Ohio where I'm from. There's all these abandoned lots.
Yeah.
And the city is just waiting for things to be done on these abandoned lots. They don't want to keep
water up there. You guys, it rains up there.
It rains in Ohio and everything, you know. So we did a community garden back in Ohio, and it's still running along. It's still growing along. I haven't been as involved because it's tough to be two places at once. But I've done some cool groundwork when I was able to, and there was like one abandoned lot given to us from some lady, and then have a MODA owned program that if you have a lot next to another abandoned lot, if you mow that abandoned lot for 7 months, then it's yours to do whatever you want.
Nice. So
if you have a house and you're next to an abandoned lot, you can mow that grass for 7 months and then be given that abandoned lot to, you know, do whatever you want. And so we were given one lot, and then the lot next to it was also abandoned. And so 7 months, a year later, we got that lot. And so we were able to plant, you know, like 16, 17 fruit trees and do a garden there that I planted a bunch of perennial mints and lavenders and sages and stuff that'll brown and strawberries and these fruit trees. And you just plant it and, you know, walk away kind of, you know, that'll grow itself, which is super cool.
Yeah. It's not like it down here in Southern California. You gotta give it water.
Sure. For a while, you know, you might be able to get away with it
Well, I've got a unique property. I've got a stream that runs through my place. So I've been nurturing that stream for 27 years. So water table's risen about 3-4 feet since I've been there because of swales and just making it happen. And so now I can tell when I plant a tree, it'll go for 3-4 years and just sort of sit there, throw its roots down. And you can tell when it hits that water. And all of a sudden that fourth or fifth year, boom, it just goes. And you're just like, we're good.
I was out there planting some more trees today out in the swales system in the back.
It's fantastic. And, you know, when you work with the land, people think, oh, I did this or I did that. But working with the land's like sailing a boat on the ocean. Like you work with it or you struggle. And, you know, if you got a low spot in a shady area, well, you could try to make it a high spot and raise it up so it gets the sun, or you can grow some shady plants in it. And you know, generally when you work with the contour of your land, with the soil, with the light structure, the wind, everything, you'll just do so much better and do so much less work. And it may not work out the way you had envisioned, because, you know, you find out more as you start digging and playing around and seeing what's in there. You know, it's I have a 2.5 acre property, and there's 6 different soil types. And it's a 3-dimensional property. So I've got a hill, I've got a valley, I've got, you know, a floodplain, I've got all these different microclimates, and I had to learn, you know, and you try this and that and this and that, and that doesn't do good. You try something else, and eventually you find your groove.
Yeah, it's where it's at, and that's the healthy living, you know, just remembering to plant a few things. Oh, hold on,
you're good on this end.
Okay. Just said, I'm getting down. I got 20% now. I'm still good. Wow.
Yeah, no worries. And like I said, we'll go as long as we want, and we can do this anytime you like. So that's the cool thing about it. It's no,
this is nice to get to hang out. We haven't hung out in a long time.
I know, exactly. And that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, God dang it. I got all these people, like last couple of years have been financially tough for me. So I just haven't been traveling like I used to, you know. When I get a little flush, I go and do things. When I don't, I stay home. And so I've been staying home a lot, working on my own stuff. But then I started this, and I was like, hey, I can hang out with those people that I want to, because we got stuff in common. We got good things to talk about. And this gives me a reason. So it's kind of cool.
Grind. It's good for the grind, for even staying home. It's good to get the.
Oh, I love being home, though. You know, it's like, it's kind of, I mean, I can imagine you at your place. You got an amazing place. You probably don't ever want to leave. I'm the same way. I'm like, I could always be here, and I'm fine with it. People come to me now rather than me going everywhere. So it's fantastic. So give me 1 second. I got to run and do something. It'll take me 30 seconds. I'll be right back.
Okay, cool. Be right here.
I got my sauna heating up, and if it turns off, it cools off pretty quick.
Nice.
All right. So tell me about your.
That's important. Sauna is important.
Oh,
You
you
got
know,
it.
a couple years ago, almost 3 years ago, we were doing real good with the business. Everything was going really good before COVID. And I guess it's almost 4 years ago. And I invested in this steam sauna. And I tell you what, man, I am in this thing 4 days a week and religiously. And I'm confident that's why I didn't get COVID. I just burned it out of me. I'm sure I got it, but I never felt it. And
It out.
just sweat the hell out of myself, and whatever's in me that doesn't belong, you gotta go. So yeah,
I like the cold shower, hot sauna.
I do the same.
I don't have the hot sauna yet. I only have the cold shower, but
I
I
do the same every shower, just about most 95% of the time. I do the Scottish shower. I go, okay, here we go, last minute, all the way cold, deal with it,
feels
and
good. It's
come out and you're like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it gets you so pumped up and
Oh,
laugh. I laugh. I'm
it's
like,
the
can be
best.
in whatever mood, getting into the shower. As soon as I hit it on cold for, the first 15, 30 seconds is uncomfortable, but you get past.
Then you're like, okay, all right. Then all of a sudden you just start getting it. Yeah,
Flooded
wow, dig it.
with dopamine and ready to conquer anything. If you could stand in a cold shower for a minute or two,
Well, about 15 years ago, I put a pool in, and that was the best thing I ever did because it gets hot here more than it's cold. But now what I do is I'll go in the sauna till I just can't take it anymore, and then I run over to the pool, hop in, do a couple of cold laps, and just then back in the sauna and do that a few times. And I tell you what, man, you're done, you're exhausted, but oh, you feel so good. You feel like you hiked all day long or something. It's just like
Turned on and off. Yeah, turned on. Turned
it's
on and
great.
off and off and on.
I just go, yeah, but you know what it does is it resets your internal your cells. Like it wakes up your
Survival, that.
it kicks in autophagy, where your body's like, oh shit, something's going wrong. So your body's like, get rid of all the bad stuff and feed all the good stuff, and all of a sudden your bad cells die off, the things that aren't working right, and your body puts all that energy into the stuff that's good, all your vitals, and all of a sudden you're like, and that's why you feel so damn good. And it doesn't go away after 20 minutes. It lingers for a while, you know. And
I saw something that it's like compared to the same amount of dopamine release with cocaine of some, but it lasts
exactly,
longer, lasts
way longer, and it
day
doesn't blow your
to
heart up.
not killing you. It's,
Exactly.
that's
And
my.
it's a good addiction, you know. Like even the cold shower, it's kind of like a workout, whatnot. Where like I gotta still talk myself into it a little bit. But then if I don't do it, I feel weird. And every once in a while, I'm like, God, oh, not today, man. I gotta go.
I can't today.
And then I get out of the shower, and I kind of feel a little bad. Like I really could have done that, you know. Like I'm missing out on it.
Showers off for sure. Just comfort, nice warm showers.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice just to be warm and just, you know, give yourself some love, you
Man,
know.
I like early day showers. I like the cold shower. Before bed showers, I might skip the cold. Just.
Right there with
I
you.
need to get woken up right now, right
I'm
then.
right there with you. Well, listen, I know you're running low on battery, and this was a great introductory episode. I would love to get in, do some deep diving in your gardening, your family, your medicine, and all this great stuff. But, you
I'm
know,
ready.
I think now that we've done this once, it'll be easier to do it again. And I know your friend Karina, she's been coming on. She's done an episode or two, and you know, they're just getting more and more people trying to get Doc Allen to do it, but he's a little skittish, but he'll come on.
Yeah,
He's
he'll
got a
warm
lot to
up.
say.
Nice.
We'll warm him up. Yeah. And you know, like I say, once we do it, it's like no big deal. But everybody's like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to be a, okay, whatever, you know. If you know me, you know I'm not gonna put you through something that's not good. It'll I'm not into that. Well, awesome. Listen, is there anything that you want to, what I always try to do, like this is a show that is for everybody involved. And sometimes people have a message or something they want to promote or tell people about. Is there anything you want to leave everybody with?
Well, this year and at this time of year right now, today is, I've been practicing Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been one of my favorite times of the year over the last, I've been doing it, this will be year 9.
Nice. And
that's always a really cool alignment for me. It's not, you know, I'm not religious really in any particular way. I kind of follow all religions and what they have to offer.
Sure.
But this is like the most extreme thing I know any religion does, basically, as a unit in fasting every day for 30 days.
Yeah.
And super cool for me to be involved with it, I feel, because I know that there's over 1 billion Muslims on the planet.
Yeah.
And there's over 1 billion people, because not there's a lot of non-Muslims that practice. There's over a people right now fasting and praying and, you know, putting themselves through a little discomfort in order to access this spiritual space that is
clarity out of it,
connection between all of us, and knowing that we're all in this together. And so that would be the one thing that I'd like to share, is just a little bit more awareness about how special this time of year is. And what's cool for me that I realized about it was that it always aligns with my moon planting calendar. I'm always nice. Following the moon in planting the gardens, you know, what year, what days to plant, what days to harvest. And Ramadan shifts every year. Every year it's a different time of year. It's never the same year. It always shifts, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks. It's like 2 or 3 weeks earlier every year. So when I started doing it, it was in July, and they were long days, long fasts, because you from sunrise to sunset.
Right.
This year it's in March. It's like the easiest fast. It's only 12 hours.
12 hours. Yep.
I barely feel them this time of year.
Yeah.
But almost every year it's been aligned on a fertile planting day is when it starts.
Nice.
And, you know, I don't know the astrological calculations that they're following, but
I don't either.
I just noticed that it's always on these cool days that I've already had marked on the calendar. I'm going to plant that day. You know, that's the most fertile day of spring, and it happens to be the beginning of Ramadan, too.
Nice.
You know, for reason, they're, you know, it's they're connected to that. And so it's super cool. It ends, Ramadan ends on April 9th, which is a cool... I think there's a lunar eclipse that day, but it's also the end of, so Pisces shifts into Aries on that day as well. And that Pisces is kind of like the end of the astrological schedule. And then Aries kind of the first one or the beginning. And so it's kind of like a new year going on at the end of, you know, we wouldn't think about it because we were all in, you know, 12 month. You know, New Year's is always the New Year's, and
we're in the Hallmark calendar.
But so April 9th is the cool. It's Eid, which is the grand finale night of Ramadan. It's like their Christmas, like the Islamic Christmas. And it was obviously with the, you know, with what's going on in the world and Gaza and Israel right now, it's like a lot of attention to the details that we are all, you know, our inner peace and inner struggles and finding our inner peace in these crazy times is
absolutely
ever more important, you know, because it's easy to be crazy in crazy times. But if you can find peace in these crazy times and share that with
and
each other.
You can, and that's so important. You can, no matter how crazy or bad or discomforted it is, you can find peace and you can find happiness. And the only place you can find it is in you. That's the only way. It's fantastic.
You're not going anywhere. You're right there the whole time. You can close your eyes and connect back to whatever spirit you got at any time, no matter where you're at.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, Lucky, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And it's kind of cool that you brought that up in the end, because I'm going to be recording an episode soon about fasting. I lost 50 pounds about 5 years ago, and fasting was a big part of how I did it. And now that I got it off 5 years ago, I've kept it off. And
changed your whole eating.
Everything. Yeah, everything. And now I look forward to fasting. I mean, it's a drug of its own. It's in a spiritual way, you know. And if you look at fasting throughout all of history, since man has figured out to do things, fasting's been a part of all recorded spiritual practices, and there's a good reason for it.
Yeah, it feels good. Being able to get way more done. I always get way more done and during the month of Ramadan when I'm not eating.
Not busy snacking all the time.
I'm taking all these breaks. I'm like, I got to stay busy. I'm fasting. I don't have anything else to do.
Exactly.
Stay in the garden as long as I can.
I love it. Well, listen, Lucky, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope we can do this again soon. I'm looking forward to continued conversations and learning from you.
Cool, man. Yeah, let's learn together.
Absolutely.
Nice.
All right. Thanks, everybody. This has been the Healthy Living Podcast, brought to you by Willow Creek Springs, and we will see you next time.
Peace.